this evening, we do give you a very warm welcome into our service this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're glad that we can still come together at the holiday time, and there is some folks away, but for those who's tuned in tonight, the Lord bless you all as we look at the Word of God. This evening, I went yesterday till my father's gravesite. It's the first time I've went, and I kept thinking about that scripture from it's from Hebrews 11 and also from Hebrews chapter 13. And you know, Abraham searched for a city whose maker and builder was God, and that's chapter 11. Chapter 13 and verse 14, chapter 13 verse 14 says, here we have no continuing city. And I thought about that there's a grave there, but my father's not in that grave. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He's no longer there. It's just some soil and things in it. But I want this evening to take a text tonight from the Word of God, and I want to talk about the oblation of death. The oblation of death. And I want to take a scripture from 2 Timothy this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. So 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. And mark this in your Bibles and follow with me this evening. You know, there is real hope for the real believer in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and have brought life and immorality to light through the gospel. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. We pray in the lovely name of Jesus Christ you will bless your word to everyone that will hear it tonight. Lord, we ask you'll meet every need and touch every heart. Give confidence, give grace and hope to each one tuned in this evening. Save the lost, heal the sick, restore the backslidden, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We had a wonderful service this morning with Brother Samuel. He preached on What Are You Hearing? It was a wonderful service. And if you didn't get to hear it, it'll be on our church webpage at some point. And we want to thank our brother Matthew McDonald that does all the work on the webpage. The Lord bless you, brother. This evening I want to talk about the oblation of death. From the time of Adam and Eve, from the very moment that Eve bent over the murdered body of Abel, down to this present time we're living in, death has reigned over the human race. And no one except Enoch in the age before the flood and Elijah in the Jewish dispensation has escaped the powers of death. For the king upon the throne, from the very king, from the highest king of the throne down to the outright, no one can or will escape death. But only one man has abolished death, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Firstly this evening, what is death? Death is the departure of the soul and spirit from the body, leaving the body to corruption and dissolution. What does the word abolish mean? The standard dictionary definition is to do away with, put to an end, annul, destroy. Naturally, people ask this question. If Jesus Christ has abolished death, why do men still die? The answer is this. Death has been abolished by proclamation. Hear me this evening. Death has been abolished by proclamation. When God planted a garden in Eden and placed man in it, He publicly made a law of rules. He gave man rules and laws, forbidding them to eat of the tree
for the fruit. They were allowed to eat of every tree, except the tree in the midst of the garden, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The penalty for breaking the law was death, and death was twofold. First, it was spiritual death, for Adam and Eve died spiritually the moment they broke that law. And secondly, it was physical death, and Adam dying physically at 930 years old after the fall. He never reached 1,000 years. Death that was introduced into the world by sin of Adam. That's how death came. Death entered in by one man. Follow me this evening. Romans 5 verse 12. Wherefore as by one man's sin entered into the world, and by sin unto death passed upon all men for all have sinned. So Adam is a man responsible for death. Death came because of one man's sin. This law of death is still in force because it's never been repealed. A law, however, may be nullified. Hear me this evening. A law can be nullified or made of no effect, abolished by the enactment of a greater law that when it goes into effect will counteract in a court of law or any court. Now we want to look at what counteracted this law of sin and death. So the law of death, though it has never been repeated, has been abolished by another law, the law of resurrection. So the law of death has been abolished by the law of resurrection. Jesus Christ abolished death when he rose from the dead. He bucked the trend, as it were. He did something that no other man could do. He rose from the dead. He abolished death. And death will be abolished for all who are Christ at the rapture or the catching away of the true church or bride of Jesus Christ. Follow with me, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 and 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up or thrust up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 55 also tells us, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? By slaying Christ on the cross, death potentially slew its own self. For he opened the door for Christ to enter in to his dominions, the grave and the underworld. We can picture death saying to the captain of the tomb, hold on to that man in Joseph's tomb until corruption has seized upon him. And I'm speaking about the Lord. I want you to think of death saying this about the Lord. For he comes out, he will make a breach in the walls of Hades, the underworld, through which all the prisoners of Hades will escape. So death was saying, don't let him escape, don't let him get out. But it was not death that had taken Christ captive. Christ simply pursued death. Are you following me? Christ pursued death into his own dominions, and then conquering death, praise God, conquering him, and came forth leading captivity captive and crying like Psalm 68 verse 18, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Look what Jesus Christ said to John on the Isle of Patmos when he appeared to him. And if you don't know anything about John was put in the Isle of Patmos, imprisoned, boiled in oil, and they tried to kill him, but they couldn't kill him, for God was with him. Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. In this proclamation, we see that Christ has abolished death, that he had the keys of the underworld and of the grave. And sooner or later, he will open the gates and free their captives, and death, the last enemy, shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Revelation 21, 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The immortality of the body. That's what I want to talk to you just for a moment about, the immortality of the body. Jesus Christ not only abolished death, but he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. Praise God. He brought all this through the gospel. It was the immortality of the body, not the soul, that Jesus brought to light. The immortality of the soul is not questioned in the Old Testament, but the immortality of the body was in doubt until Jesus Christ revealed it and proved it by his own resurrection from the dead. Once again, the bodies of the righteous are raised. They can never die again, for they are equal unto the angels that never die, and are the children of God, being the children of the first resurrection. Luke 20, verse 36. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being children of the resurrection. But this is not true of the bodies of the wicked. The bodies of the wicked shall rise again at the second resurrection, and after judgment shall be sentenced to the second death. My friend, this evening you want to be saved, you need to be born again so that this second death has no power over you. Revelation 20, verse 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from his face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead are judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. The first death was separation of the soul from the body, and so will the second death, death of the soul and all. Ecclesiastes 18, verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. When we look today, and I'm going to close in a moment, I'm not going to be very long this evening, but when we look today at this evil world, in 1 year, there's up to 40 to 50 million abortions. That's approximately 125,000 abortions per day. Then the government and politicians call COVID a pandemic. Friends, this evening, I'll tell you what. How is it they call COVID a pandemic, but yet with all, 125,000 abortions are done every single day, and there's hardly a word spoken about it. blinded eyes. The Bible talks about the blind leading the blind and them both falling into the ditch. I believe the nation needs to repent. I believe the land needs to repent of the sin they've committed before God can move. And now I'm going to read you one scripture, and I'm coming to the close this evening. Revelation 20 and verse 14. And I know people's in a holiday mode. I don't want to hold this long. Revelation 20 and verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I tell you, it's going to be a terrible thing. There's a day of judgment coming. And we need to be in Christ now. When you're in Christ now, then you're under Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is there's now no condemnation, judgment, to them that are in Christ Jesus. For you've already passed from death unto life. Him that's born of God is born from above. Born from an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus Christ has dealt with death. Jesus Christ conquered death on the cross 2,000 years ago. Remember, Jesus went into Abraham's bosom, a special, prepared place. bless you all this evening. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of hope. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, wherever you go. God bless you all. Till we meet again, God bless you.